give God some praise in this place. Give God some glory in this place. We serve a mighty God. We serve an awesome God. We serve a holy God. We serve a righteous God. We serve a faithful God. Hallelujah. We serve a merciful God. If you know anything about mercy, it's that we don't get what we deserve. We serve a merciful God. Hallelujah. I give God all the honor and the glory. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So grateful to be standing in front of you this morning. I give God all the praise, honor, and glory, for if it was not for him, there would be no me. And I'm so grateful to still be here. Give honor to our pastor in his absence, thanking him for this opportunity. I do not take it lightly, for this is not a light assignment. But I'm grateful to be here. We're going to get in with the word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence, God. We thank you for just being God. God, I ask that you come into this place and have your way. God, touch the top of my head to the soles of my feet. God, remove me, God. Place me so far behind the cross that they only see you, God. We thank you for everything that you're going to do in this service, God. Open the hearts of your people that they may be able to receive and apply the word to their lives, God. We thank you for all you're going to do. In your darling son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So if you saw the flyer on Facebook, you know this morning we're going to talk about going from pressure to purpose. Going from pressure to purpose. I'm going to start off by sharing some lyrics to a song that is written by Jonathan McReynolds. And it's called Pressure. It says, I can't even turn on my phone without being reminded of the lie that I am alone and broke and unsuccessful. I can't always talk to my friends because they got expectations that I may or may not be living up to. I really need to rid myself of the pressure to be someone else that the world has made. Jesus, take from me all the pressure to be someone else you did not create. He goes on to say, help me be me and only see you. Let me decrease and glorify you. Then the second verse is where I think it gets real intense. It says, I thought my intentions were good. Just act like a Christian should and hope someone watching would approve or be inspired. But if you're not feeling my show, then how far could I go before all of my accomplishments go down in fire? Just because all of the pressure to be someone that the church has made. Jesus, take from me all the pressure to be someone that you did not create. Help me be me and only see you. Let me decrease and glorify you. He goes on to say, I just want to live for you. Nobody else but you. Many of us are going through the pressures of life. At times, it can seem so overwhelming. Many times, we just want it to stop. We want all the pressure to just go away. Some pressures we create for ourselves, and others we don't. Pressures come in many forms. Pressure can be from people, work, finances, society, relationships, parenting. Pressure can even come from the church. Pressure to fit in, pressure to be accepted, pressure to complete tasks, pressure to overcome hurt and pain, pressure to hold up a certain image, pressure to acquire a certain status, pressure to fight off temptation, pressure of accountability, pressure to stay the course no matter what. We face all of these pressures in life. The definition of pressure is continuous physical force exerted on or against an object by something in contact with it. Do you feel the pressure? Pressure can also be defined as the use of persuasion, influence, or intimidation to make someone do something. Have you felt pressure before? Pressure can come in a positive or a negative way. But how you respond to the pressure can change everything. Amen. I was in my kitchen, and I was cooking. And I just so happened to look up and look at my pressure cooker that I hadn't used in a while. And I began to think about all the stuff I could make in my pressure cooker, because it does all different types of things. And I thought, if the food never went under the pressure, I never get to enjoy any of those meals. Pressure is uncomfortable, but it's necessary. Examples of how pressure can be uncomfortable but necessary. Well, if you work out and you lift weights, hey, them weights ain't light. They heavy. They gonna cause some pressure. Your body gonna be sore. But after the workout, and you start seeing the results, it was worth the pressure, right? For women, if you've given birth or you haven't had children, you know, when you start feeling pressure, that might mean it's time to push, all right? But if you don't never push, you never get that baby that you've been waiting so long to see. I know it's going to come. That baby gonna push itself out. See, pressure is necessary many times to receive the end result. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, and I'm reading it in the Message Bible, it says, "What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have him. This Father of our Master Jesus, because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And that future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and hold." Wouldn't that be great? I know how great that makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. I want to focus on verse 6, though. It says, we are going to have to face every kind of aggravation. Now, why in the world would he say that? Every kind of aggravation. And in the King James Version, it says heaviness. And when I think of heaviness, I think of pressure, because anything heavy puts pressure on you. The point is, we are going to go through things. We are going to face just about every kind of obstacle. We can't get around it. We got to go through it. But there is purpose behind it. Just like the scripture goes on to say that gold has to go through the fire to be purified, just as our faith has to go through the fire to prove, we have to go through the fire to prove our faith in God. If we don't go through the fire, if we don't go through the pressure, how do we prove our faith in God? If we don't go through the fire, how can we come out as pure gold? James 1:12, the ESV says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him." We are going to go through things. We have to go through things. It's no way around it, y'all. So I want to talk to you about my friend Joseph, the dreamer. I know many of you have probably heard the story of Joseph and all the betrayal. We're going to talk about that. But I felt like if anybody can express pressure, he could. In the book of Genesis chapter 30, you'll find the beginning of story of Joseph. And before Joseph was conceived, his mother, Rachel, had go through some pressure, y'all. She was barren. She couldn't have children. And so she had to watch for many years her husband's second wives and servants give birth to his children, 11 to be exact. And she had to watch them take care of them and bathe them and feed them and do all this stuff. And she's there and she can't have no children. I'm sure there was a lot of pressure there. I'm sure that was hard. I'm sure they walked around like, "I got something you don't." Don't people do that? When they know you can't have something, they like to flaunt it around like, "Look what I got." Pressure. Pressure. Because of this fact, for several years, she watched the women give birth and care for her husband's children. If that's not pressure, I don't know what is. It took a tough situation for Joseph to even be conceived. When Joseph was born, he was deemed special because of the fact that his mother had been barren and his father was a very old age. So he didn't think he was going to have no more kids. His father considered him a gift from God and created him a garment to express that. Well, Joseph helped to tend to his father's sheep, and along with his 11 brothers. And he would go back and have to make reports sometimes. And, you know, hey, that was his job. He would go back, and sometimes he had to tell his father, "Hey, they playing around." Well, the fact that he was already special and treated special, and his brother saw he was treated special, they was already irritated and jealous of him. And then Joseph figured out he had a gift. And with gifts come pressure. And I'm going to talk about that. With gifts comes pressure. Spiritual gifts especially. Especially if you're in leadership position. Because the pressure comes from everybody else. When you get a title, all of a sudden you ain't human no more. Pressure. You can't make humanly mistakes no more. Pressure. If you mess up, oh, it's the end of the world. Pressure. It's real, y'all. As a Christian, have you ever felt you walk in a place and they, oh, God. Pressure. Because you're wondering, well, do I go in as my Christian self or do I just go in like it don't matter? Pressure. The pressure that comes with living this life is real, y'all. You got to make the choice, though. So, Joseph, he's under pressure. And all he wants to do is fit in with his brothers. He just want to be a kid, y'all. I want to fit in with my brothers. I want to hang out with y'all. I want y'all bigger than me. I want to be like y'all. Can you imagine that? And they all turning their nose up at him like, we don't want to have nothing to do with you. Ultimately, they plotted to kill him. But one of his brothers stepped in. He said, nah, we ain't killing him. We ain't killing him. We going to throw him in a pit, though. That same brother was going to go back and save him later, but he didn't get to because his brother sold him into slavery. Now, just imagine, okay, you 17 years old, you trying to be like your brothers, trying to fit in with them, and you go out to do what your daddy told you to do, and you end up in a pit that you can't get out of. You didn't ask for this. You didn't ask for this. You end up in a pit, and then you sold and sent to a land you ain't never been to before. Tell me that ain't some pressure. How would you feel? Your life got flipped upside down. You didn't even get to make the choices of how your life was going to operate. Because your own family threw you in a pit and sold you off. So from there, he was taken to Egypt, a land unknown to him, and sold again to Potiphar, who was the captain of the palace guard and officer of the king Pharaoh. Though Joseph had been betrayed by his own brothers, there was still purpose for all he had gone through, y'all. There was still purpose there. In Genesis chapter 39, it speaks of how God was with Joseph and how he was successful at everything he did. And because of this, because he was so blessed, Potiphar said, yo, you're going to be close to me, because he saw how blessed he was. He said, come on, I want you close to me. He gave him another position of power. Look at the elevation of God in the midst of the pressure. Because he endured it. Look at it. So he goes on, and God blesses Potiphar for blessing Joseph. All right. So not only did Joseph get elevated, but Potiphar was blessed. That overflow. That's an overflow, y'all. Things began to look up, right? You know, he in a better situation, you know. He's in a position, he's doing all right, you know. Well, here comes pressure again. Joseph was, as the Bible says, he was very handsome and well built. He was good looking. And because of this, Potiphar's wife had her eyes on him. So here comes pressure again. And he just doing his job, y'all. Sound familiar? He was just doing his job and got through in the pit. Here we go again. In Genesis chapter 39, verses 8 through 18 in the NLT, it says, but Joseph refused, because Potiphar's wife was like, I'm demanding that you sleep with. Yes, I am demanding. That's some real pressure. And she's in a position of power, right? She can have whatever she wants. And I want you, and I'm demanding. And he said, look, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. She kept putting pressure on Joseph. It would be a great sin against God. Now, think about all that had been done to him. Now, some of us would have been like, all this stuff that I done been through. You know, he said it would be a great sin against God. But she kept putting pressure on Joseph. Day after day after day after day. But he refused to sleep with her. And he kept out of her way as much as possible. One day, however, no one else was around. When he went in to do his work, she came and grabbed his cloak, demanding again for him to sleep with her. Joseph tore away from her, took off running. When she saw that she was holding his cloak as he fled, she called out to her servant. Soon all the men, can you see all these people come running? Look, she said, my husband has brought this Hebrew slave in here to make a fool of us. He came in my room and he tried to rape me. But I screamed and he heard me scream. He took off running. But he left his cloak behind with me. So this is my proof that he did what he did, even though it was a lie. Then she told her husband, you know, who's real cool with Joseph, because Joseph been down for him since he got there. He been down for him. He been true to him and everything. And you know how the story goes. He listens to his wife. Again, here's Joseph just trying to do what is right and put in a position of distress. Of course, like I said, we know how this goes. Potiphar believes his wife and throws Joseph in prison. Now he went from one pit to another. But the word again says that the Lord was with Joseph. The gifts that God had given Joseph allowed him to elevate again. Even in prison, he elevated. Each time he got knocked down, he got elevated. The pressure had purpose. In Luke chapter 12, verse 48, the B part says, from everyone to whom which is given, much will be required. And to whom much they entrusted much, and him they will ask all the more. The way the story of Joseph plays out, Joseph ends in a high position of power and ultimately saves everyone around, including his brothers who betrayed him. The betrayal was the pressure needed to get Joseph to where he needed to be, which was to serve his purpose. See, if they'd have never thrown him in the pit, he'd have never got to Egypt, and he would have never been able to save all of those people. He didn't choose how his life went out, but he endured it because ultimately he had a purpose. He had something greater that he had to do, greater than tending those sheep back there. Because who knows? You know, if he would have lived back then, he'd have still been shepherding sheep. How do we know? If he'd have never been put in that pit, he'd have never got to his destiny. What is purpose? Purpose is the reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. It is also defined as one's intent or objective. In the Greek, it is bulimia, which means to be to will, wish, purpose, or a deliberate intention, a plan. In Jeremiah 29:11, the word says, "For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans of peace and of well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." All right, there's your purpose right there. He said, "I have a well-thought-out plan, a deliberate intention." If that don't describe purpose, I don't know what does. He said, "I have plans for you." But get this, plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster. And if we look at it through our eyes, Joseph's life was a disaster. But in the process, he had peace because he kept trusting God in the process. So what looked like a disaster was ultimately for his good. So many significant people in the Bible dealt with pressure that led to their purpose. Why is this so important to us as believers? This is important because we will be required. Notice that? Required to face pressures. The problem is that many times we run from the pressure like a bunch of Jonas. That's why we end up in big fish situations. We will hear God telling us to operate in a certain way, but we will do just the opposite. The difference between us and Joseph is endurance. Joseph stayed the course no matter what the pressure he had to face. The way life was set up for him was not his choice, and I'm sure would have been planned out so much different. We can learn a lot from him. The reason he still had favor on his life is because he stayed the course. No, we don't always get to choose how our life plays out. And yes, that can be hard. I'm sure there were days where Joseph sat and was like, "What in the world is going on here? How in the world did I get here? I didn't put myself here." I'm sure he had conversations with God like, "I'm gonna need for you to kind of tell me what's going on here." It's hard, y'all. We wonder why things fall apart. But many times, the answer is our response to the pressure. We would rather run and go after other things than to face it. Let me just say this. If you made the choice to follow Jesus, prepare for pressure. It's going to come. But look at Jesus. Even he had to endure pressure, but not just pressure. He had to endure extreme amount of pain, but not for us. I mean, for him, but for us. He endured for himself. He did it for us. Would you have been able to do that? He went through an extreme amount of pressure. And even after the beating, the pressure of the weight of the wood he had to carry up a hill. Pressure while he's bleeding. Lungs collapsed. Pressure. Not for him, but for us. And we don't want to deal with "my bills high" type of pressure. We don't want to deal with "I got a cough" type of pressure. Jesus endured pressure for us. And I can witness to enduring through numerous pressures of life. Not always making the best choices or decisions and making many mistakes in the process, but in the midst of all the pressure, I continue to do the work of the Lord. I have endured through major losses, unexpected transitions, medical diagnoses, ending of relationships and friendships, betrayal, bad choices, judgment, unacceptance through depression and mental breakdowns, I continue to push because I know there is purpose in me. Jeremiah 1 and 5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and approved you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I consecrated you to myself as my own. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So no matter the hell I'm going through, I know I got purpose. Joseph's face, his faith endured. His faith endured. His endurance allowed him to reach his purpose. In the end, he received the victory over all he had gone through. If we never push through the obstacle, we will never reach our full potential. That's in everything we do. If we never go through, we will never get to. When you make this choice, y'all, a lot of people like to play with the choice. Ooh, I think I want to. We look like we double dutching. I think I might, but as soon as trouble come, I'm gone. Nah. Mm-mm. This ain't what I signed up for. When I signed up to be in Jesus, I signed up for my life to be pretty flowers and roses. That is not what I want. I'm sorry to tell you. This ain't the life for pretty roses. This is a life for armor. Heavy artillery. Heavy artillery. The word of God is that heavy artillery, just so you know. But this life ain't pretty roses and flowers, baby. This is a fight. And if you think just because you accept it that you ain't got to fight, baby, you in the wrong place. This life is about endurance, y'all. This life is about endurance. I think about our church, y'all. Unity Worship Center, right now. Pressure. Look at who they pastor is. Pressure. Y'all see that shooting that happened outside of that church? Pressure. I ain't going over there. It's too much drama. Pressure. You know they about to lose their church. They ain't got the finances to keep it. Pressure. Think about all the pressure. I mean, think about the pressure of our pastor. See, when y'all walk out that door and say, I'm going to be gone for a few weeks, he's still dealing with all the pressure. When we should be coming together praying, suiting up, getting ready for war, because ain't nobody gonna stop this right here. Pressure. We gotta go through it, y'all. We gotta go. How do we expect to save those babies? How do we expect to save those babies? They dying daily, y'all. Daily. And not just the gun violence. What about the mental of these babies? Do y'all ever think about that? It ain't just the gun violence. Some of them taking their own lives. because of the pressure that they shouldn't even have to deal with at 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. This stuff is real, y'all. Where are we? Where are the warriors? Where are the warriors? Who is in the fight? Who is going out there like we not about to lose another one? Y'all know I'm a pre-K teacher, right? So God put the, he always uses something that I teach. And I found out a whole lot of people don't know this story or this song. And I'm about to teach it to y'all today. It's called We're Going on a Bear Hunt. I don't know why they wanted to go on a bear hunt, but I mean, it's not the point. The point is, I want y'all to repeat after me, all right? We're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. What a beautiful day. We're not scared. Now, first, I'm going to stop right there, all right? So, in this life, all right, we going on a hunt, all right? We going on a hunt for eternal life, right? And we got an enemy, right? So we got to be prepared for that enemy regardless, right? So we basically going on this fight looking for the enemy because we know you coming, all right? So we going on a hunt, and we going to catch it, and we going to get rid of it. It's a beautiful day because God made everything beautiful. And we ain't scared. We ain't never scared. He said, fear not, for I am with you. Uh-oh, guys. You know, we on this hunt, right? We done got to some tall, wavy grass. Well, guess what? We can't go over it. We can't go under it. You can't go around it because it's everywhere. We got to go through it. So let's get through the grass, y'all. Shh. Just move the grass. Move the grass. Move the grass. All right. We going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. What a beautiful day. I ain't scared. Uh-oh. We done got to a river, y'all. And that's a deep river, and it look real cold. Well, can't go over it. We ain't got no boat. Can't go under it. It's pretty deep. Can't go around it. Guess what? We got to swim through it. You might as well swim. It's deep, so I hope you know how to swim. We're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. I'm not scared. It's a beautiful day. Y'all scared yet? We ain't got to the bear yet. But we getting close. So now we at a big dark forest. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Can't go over it. Can't go under it. Can't go around it. We got to go through it, y'all. And the words they use going through this was trip. And they stumbled and tripped, and they stumbled and tripped. And I thought about that. Sometimes in life we stumble and we trip. Literally stumble and trip. And sometimes we figuratively tripping. Ain't no way around it. We trip. But they stumbled and tripped and stumbled and tripped. But hey, they ain't stopped. Because guess what? We going on a bear hunt. We going to catch a big one. Y'all done lost y'all enthusiasm. Y'all scared? We ain't scared. scared. What a beautiful day. Oh, you know what? I see a cave, y'all. It's narrow and gloomy. Can't go over it. Can't go under it. Can't go around it. Gotta go through it. Well, this time they got smart because it's a cave. And, you know, we was looking for a bear. And we didn't found it. We might as well tiptoe on in. Ain't that how we do, though? Come on. We get to those situations that we put ourselves in. And then we want to tiptoe around the problem. We gonna tiptoe around it because I done put myself here. Not really thought I wanted that bear, but oh my God, it's a bear. The moral to the story, y'all. Pressure and obstacles of life are going to come. But you must go through. Guess what? Can't go over it. Can't go under it. Can't go around it. You gotta go through it. You must go through to get to your purpose, to your future, to your destiny. You got to go through it to get to heaven. You got to make the choice. For God I live, for God I die. You can't double dutch your way through life. If you choose to live for Jesus, you got to understand it is not a bed of roses. It is not a bed of roses. I'm going to tell y'all, I'm going to be real with y'all. I'm going to be transparent. For the last 2 years of my life, and y'all see me in here, I'm all over the place. Have been for a long time. I have gone through so. So much in my life has changed. So many things have shifted that I never would have expected. Not things that I asked for. Things that just I had to accept. I had to keep going. Guess what? Because I had to work. I had to take care of my son. I have responsibilities at church. And guess what? If I fold, everybody gonna be looking at me like, what's wrong with her? Crying myself to sleep at night. Sometimes wanting to drive my car into a wall. But guess what? Every Sunday, I get off work at 8 o'clock in the morning. I get dressed. I get on the road. And I'm like, Jesus, I'm going to get there. 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 Tired, exhausted, no help. But Jesus, if you keep your hand on me, I promise I'm going to keep working for you. I may fall, I may trip, I may stumble, but I promise I'm going to keep coming for you. Going through all this pressure, God. I don't understand, but I promise I'm going to keep fighting for you. It's hard, y'all. And no, I didn't make every right choice. No, I'm not exempt from mistakes or falling. But I'm telling you, I'm a fighter. And this is how you have to be. You have to fight. If you choose to be in this ministry, you're going to have to fight. And if we want to see this ministry do what it's supposed to do, you better get your armor now. Make your choice now. Because the pressure is here, baby. If you don't understand, the kingdom of God is at war. And we need everybody. A group of people ain't gonna do it. We need everybody. So get suited up. We need everybody. All hands on deck. Get suited up, y'all. Because guess what? Hey, when we suit up together, some of those battles you facing by yourself, you going to get through them. Guess what? Because you got a team. You ain't fighting by yourself no more. Because we in it to win it. If you have not made a choice and you want today to be that choice, not to come to the church, but to come to Jesus. Now is your opportunity to say, I'm ready to fight. I've been slacking off. I've been tripping. I've been running. I done had a couple of big fish experiences. I'm tired of running. I'm ready to step up. I'm ready to put my armor on. Hey, because guess what? Hey, all soldiers got to go through training. Well, we're not expecting you to come in and be on it. You got to go through a training process. But that's what Sunday school and Bible study and everything else we got going on is for. And no, you ain't going to get it all right. I don't. You're going to make mistakes. Like I said, when they was in the forest stumbling and tripping, you going to be stumbling and tripping. But guess what? Don't trip too far away from where you're supposed to be. Because you can't get back on course if you do. If you get lost in that forest, how we going to find you? We said we was going on a bear hunt. Not you by yourself. Now you stuck in the forest and we in the cave. But if today is your day, and you want to give God your life, give Jesus your life, then I offer you the invitation. And if you've been tripping and stumbling and you've been gone for a long time, I offer you a welcome home. There's no greater decision than to say, God, I messed up, but I'm here. Take me for where I am and help me to become what you have called me to be. Rid me of the pressures of trying to be like everybody else. Help me to be what you created me to be. If anybody else, if you want to come up for prayer, I offer you the altar.